KJAN Sports.
Time for a look at sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. In high school girls volleyball action around the area last night, in the Hawkeye 10 Conference, it was Clarinda downing Atlantic three games in a row. Kemper Catholic took three out of four from Lewis Central. It was Red Oak defeating Glenwood 3-2. Harlan over Creston 3 games in a row. And Shenandoah down Denison in three straight last night. In Western Iowa Conference play, Missouri Valley a 3-game sweep over Riverside. Tri-Center defeated Audubon 3-1. It was Underwood over AHST 3 in a row. And Trainer defeated Griswold in 3 straight last night. In Rolling Hills Conference play, Grandview Park Baptist defeated Cam by a score of 3 straight games. Also around the area last night, Arweva beat Glidden-Ralston 3 in a row. Corning over Lennox in 3 straight. Earlham defeated Panorama 3-1. It was East Union over Nottoway Valley 3 in a row. IKM Manning a 3-game sweep over West Harrison. Logan Magnolia took 3 straight from Charter Oak Ute. Stanton down Clarinda Academy in 3 straight. Villisca over East Mills 3 in a row. It was West Monona taking 3 straight from Woodbine. Woodward Granger down in Coon Rapids Bayard 3-0. Essex 3-0 over Heartland Christian. And Nishnabotna defeated Fremont Mills also in a 3-game sweep last night. Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz says senior quarterback James Vandenberg can't afford to put too much pressure on himself to help Iowa's struggling offense. Vandenberg has completed on just over 54% of his passes in 2 games, and the Hawkeyes have only reached the end zone once in 8 quarters.
That's the way he's built. He's so respected because of that. He's extremely tough mentally, tough physically, and he's an excellent football player. And nobody's happy about the production we've had so far. So, but all he can do is keep pushing and keep working. And the biggest thing he has to do is do his part, not try to do too much, because that can affect his performance.
Ferentz says Vandenberg cannot afford to let the struggles on offense affect his decision-making.
Yeah, a big part of playing any position is, you got to just try to play within the framework of what it is you're asked to do. And, trust that everybody else is going to do the same thing.
Ferentz says the Hawkeyes need to resolve their red zone woes. They've settled for 6 field goals in their first 2 games.
Yeah, at some point that's going to catch up to you. And, Saturday we came up short again. They kept us out of the end zone. So it's a little tougher circumstance when you get down there. But if you can't master that and can't have success, it's unrealistic to think that you're going to be a successful football team. So we'll just keep working at it. And, we've done some good things in practice down there. We just have to keep working to refine things.
Ferentz says while eventually too many dropped passes will affect playing time, he doesn't expect to make changes in the receiving core this week. Ferentz says there are many FCS programs that can compete with teams from the bigger conferences, and UNI is one of the best at doing it. He says he won't be taking this game lightly, as UNI nearly beat Iowa in Kinnick back in 2009, and 2 weeks ago they nearly upset Wisconsin in Madison before losing 26-21.
If we ignore that, then we're just, we're fools, and so we better be paying attention to that. But again, there's a lot of guys on our team that, 2009 is like ancient history to some guys. If they throw the Wisconsin film on that, should get their attention if they're paying attention.
Well, with a solid history of matching up well against FBS opponents, the UNI football team will not be intimidated when they walk into Kinnick Stadium Saturday. The Panthers played Wisconsin to within a touchdown in their season opener and nearly won the last time they faced Iowa at Kinnick. And Panther coach Mark Farley says his players won't be wowed by playing in Iowa City this time.
They've already been in an environment like that, looked across the field and into a Big Ten team, so at the same time, you can add the fact that it's the University of Iowa. It's still the number one team in this state as far as football and athletics is concerned. It's our pro team. So, it's still, to our kids, it's still the University of Iowa. So, I'm sure they're excited and getting ready to go.
Iowa blocked 2 last-second UNI field goal attempts to preserve a 17-16 win when the teams met in 2009. Farley says that with the exception of a handful of players that also played in that game, the previous result against Iowa won't have any bearing on Saturday's game.
That stage is, bar none. That's an exciting opportunity. And, so I think that's where you draw it from. And like I said, it is. It's a big deal. It's nice for the players to get that opportunity, and some of them are, they played as a freshman, so they get to go back. But, we'll walk in there with a game plan and try to make sure we execute, because, last time was last time. This is a whole different story.
UNI's roster is dotted with players who likely grew up dreaming of playing for Iowa but didn't get the chance, and Farley says Saturday's game will give them a chance to prove themselves. He says he's encouraged by the number of other FCS teams that have picked up wins over FBS teams in this season's first 2 weeks. You can catch that game live here Saturday on KJAN. UNI and Iowa kick it off at 2:30 in the afternoon. We'll get it started with the pregame show coming up at 12:30 on Saturday. In NFL news, the Chiefs have waived linebacker Cameron Sheffield to make roster space for linebacker Tom Bahali, who was suspended for Week 1 for violating the league's substance abuse policy. The Chiefs announced the roster move Tuesday night. Hali did not count against the Chiefs' 53-man roster while he was suspended for the season opener against Atlanta. He's eligible to return for this week's game at Buffalo. Sheffield played in 17 games and made one start during two seasons in Kansas City, but he'd often been shuffled back on the depth chart. The former fifth-round draft pick only made 8 tackles with the club after spending his rookie season on injured reserve. Hali is coming off a standout season in which he had 12 sacks and reached his first Pro Bowl. Well, the NFL confirms that Commissioner Roger Goodell has agreed to meet with 4 players whose suspensions in connection with the bounty investigation were recently lifted by an appeals panel. No specific dates have been set for the meetings. Goodell is reconsidering whether to hand down revised suspensions to Saints linebacker John Vilma, Saints defensive end Will Smith, Cleveland linebacker Scott Fujita, and free agent defensive lineman Anthony Hargrove. The NFL lifted the roster exemption for Browns linebacker Scott Fujita, who had the 3-game suspension for his role in the Saints bounty scandal lifted last week. Fujita is now back on Cleveland's 53-man roster, which had an opening when cornerback Joe Hayden was suspended 4 games Monday for failing a drug test. The Oakland Raiders have finalized a multi-year contract extension with fullback Marcel Reese. No details were announced, but Reese had been slated to make $540,000 this season as an exclusive rights free agent. He's played 31 career games for Oakland and has 56 career receptions for 674 yards and 5 touchdowns. The Washington Redskins have signed long snapper Justin Snow to replace Nick Sundberg, who was put on injured reserve. Former Pro Bowl center Dan Coppin, who spent 9 seasons snapping the ball to Tom Brady in New England, will now have the chance to work with Peyton Manning. Coppin signed with the Denver Broncos on Tuesday, 2 weeks after his release from the Patriots. NFL Charities is awarding more than $1.5 million in grants for sports-related medical research at 15 organizations, with nearly 2/3 of that money going to study concussion prevention and treatment. In baseball, the American League East is tied again with Baltimore and the New York Yankees, sporting identical 79-62 records. J.J. Hardy homered twice, doubled, drove in 5 runs, and the Baltimore Orioles defeated Tampa Bay 9-2 as the Rays are 2 games back and 2 games behind in the chase for the final AL wild card spot. Hardy went 4-for-5. Chris Davis homered, and Matt Wieters had 3 hits and a couple of RBIs for Baltimore. Meanwhile, the Yankees were dropping a 4-3 decision to Boston in Fenway Park as Jacoby Ellsbury had 4 hits and drove in a pair of runs, capping a strong performance on his 29th birthday with a solid single to drive in the winning run in the bottom of the 9th inning. Elsewhere in the AL, Doug Fister threw 7 innings of 2-hit ball. Austin Jackson hit a tying 2-run homer, and Miguel Cabrera delivered a go-ahead solo shot, leading Detroit past the White Sox 5-3, reducing Chicago's AL Central lead to 2 games. Oakland held off the LA Angels 6-5 to stay atop the AL wild card standings. The AL Central leading Texas, the AL West leading Texas Rangers beat Cleveland 6-4. Also last night, it was Seattle beating Toronto 4-3, and Kansas City routed Minnesota 9-1. In the National League, San Francisco stretched its lead in the National League West to 6 games over Los Angeles, holding off Colorado 9-8. The Arizona Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers 1-0. Washington rookie Bryce Harper had his first 4-hit game in the majors in the Nationals' 5-3 win over the Mets. Also, Logan Forsyth and Alexi Amarista had key hits in a 5-run 4th inning as the San Diego Padres beat the St. Louis Cardinals 6-4, sending the slumping World Series champions to their 10th loss in 13 games. Washington's lead in the NL East is now 6.5 over Atlanta as Marco Estrada pitched shutout ball into the 7th inning. Ricky Weeks and Aramis Ramirez homered, and the Brewers blanked the Braves 5-0 as the Brewers won their 8th in a row at Miller Park, and they reached the 500 mark for the first time since April 24th. Milwaukee surged back into the National League wildcard race as they've won 17 of 22 overall. They're 4 out of that final wildcard spot. Philadelphia's another team inserting itself in the wildcard picture as Jimmy Rollins homered and drove in 3 in the Phillies' 9-7 win over Miami. It's their 6th straight win. The Phillies have moved within 4 games of St. Louis in the wild card race. Also, Mike Leake pitched 7 innings and had a pair of hits, leading the National League Central, leading Cincinnati Reds to a 5-3 win over fading Pittsburgh. Jimmy Paredes also scored an unearned run in the third inning as Houston beat Chicago 1-0. Well, Cincinnati Reds are giving closer Aroldis Chapman a few days off to rest his tired pitching shoulder. The left-hander struggled with his control and only hit 96 miles an hour on the radar gun Monday night during a 14-inning 4-3 win over Pittsburgh. The Baltimore Orioles have purchased the contracts of outfielders Andy Chavez and L.J. Hose from AAA Norfolk, and they've designated veteran reliever Kevin Gregg for assignment. Gregg went 3-2 with a 4.74 ERA and 40 appearances with the Royals. With the Orioles. And the Texas Rangers right-hander Roy Oswalt has been diagnosed with a right forearm strain, and he won't throw again for several days. In Pacific Coast League baseball last night, Reno defeated Omaha 13-1 in Game 1 of the Pacific Coast League Championship Series. That's a best-of-five series that Reno now leads 1-0. Game 2 is set for tonight in Reno before the series shifts to Omaha for the final games. Harvard basketball co-captain Kyle Casey plans to withdraw from school amid a cheating scandal that also may involve other athletes, according to several reports. Sports Illustrated and the Harvard Crimson are reporting that Casey, a senior, would take a leave of absence from school in an attempt to preserve a year of eligibility once the issue is resolved. Co-captain Brandon Curry also has been implicated. The Boston Herald reported Curry also is expected to withdraw from classes. The school is looking into whether at least 125 undergraduates in what has been reported to be an Introduction to Congress class of about 280 students cheated by working together on a take-home final exam in the spring. Harvard is coming off Ivy League championships in both football and basketball, where the Crimson made their first trip to the NCAA tournament since 1946 last season, going 26-4 under Tommy Amaker. And there's a glimmer of hope in the stalled talks aimed at preventing hockey's fourth work stoppage since 1992. The National Hockey League and the Players Association will resume negotiations today in an effort to avoid a lockout this weekend. The two sides have not met face-to-face since last Friday. Both sides plan to get together at the league office in New York before the NHL Players Association holds player meetings later today. The NHL Board of Governors will convene on Thursday with Commissioner Gary Bettman. In a show of solidarity, more than 250 players are set to attend union meetings today and Thursday in New York to hear the latest bulletins on any negotiations. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.